Tom McQuiston. I'm going to be talking about what we've done with three groups there listed at the bottom in documenting industry-wide safety, health, safety, environmental conditions for bargaining. Presenting with me, we're going to do a tag team here in order to get everybody involved, is Josie Beach from one of our local unions in Hanford, Washington. She's a worker trainer and a worker researcher and evaluator. And Kristen Bradley Bull, who's from New Perspectives Consulting Group. First, we want to thank the NIEHS. They've been longtime great supporter of us in our research and evaluation work involving workers in that process.
Thanks, Tom. We're also going to show you just a little bit demonstration of teamwork today. A decade ago, USW began collaborating on major research and evaluation initiative using rank-and-file workers. Studies focused on single sites, groups of sites, and entire industries being the most challenging and ambitious, but also they offered the greatest possibility of leveraging industry-wide improvements via changes in federal regulations and putting pressure on the industries. Today we're going to profile two nationwide research projects, a study of chemical vulnerabilities and oil refinery process safety. In both of these studies, we engage team members in every phase of the project. The research team members focused on what information we needed and how we would get the information. Developing the survey included types of survey questions, what would be the most effective, and how to best reach the intended survey respondents. During our data analysis, we needed to understand what the quantitative and qualitative data revealed. As the team looked at survey conclusions and recommendations, we focused on what the bigger picture themes were, implications for health and safety improvements, and how those results could best be used to leverage for health and safety improvements. Our research teams included union members from affected sites from California, Washington State, Texas, Louisiana, and Ohio, the Tony Mazzocchi Center and its partners, the Labor Institute, USW Leaders, New Perspectives, a consulting group. Combined, the Mazzocchi Center partners have one of the most accomplished health, safety, and environment training and research programs. The process and what team means starts with small work groups. This is a mixture of workers, staff, consultants, each of them with various types of experiences and expertise. Workshops are designed to ensure meaningful participation of all the participants. The small work groups will process the information and the ideas, and then they'll report to the full group for reviews and revisions. We also use varieties of what we have dubbed half-baked steps in our research teamworks. For example, a starting point for our survey development involves using a survey question bank. That includes questions that have been tested out in previous studies. For data analysis, consultants and staff take a first-cut approach, pouring over all the quantitative data to pull out the most noteworthy trends. This helps us to streamline the time needed for analysis, and it makes the task less overwhelming for the entire group. In multiple sessions, this allows our team members to participate in sessions where they are most needed and usually as their schedules allow. Now, to keep our projects moving forward, we use a variety of methods. We rely on subgroups. We work with work teams, conference calls. My personal favorite is our web meetings. And we also have a semi-participatory process for writing our reports. The full team roughs out the study, conclusions and recommendations, and then the staff and consultants draft the report or the article and with critical review from the rest of the team. Okay, now I'd like to turn it over to Kristen, and she is going to introduce study number one. Thanks.
through this rather quickly. So the first study we're featuring today dealt with chemical plant vulnerabilities to accidents and intentional terrorist acts, accidents being, of course, the most common scenario. The worker staff consultant team surveyed 125 PACE represented and now United Steelworkers represented chemical plants. All 125 sites contain large amounts of highly hazardous chemicals and are designated by the Environmental Protection Agency as Risk Management Program sites, otherwise known as RMP sites. RMP sites have had some of the most serious chemical accidents to date, with potential for even more catastrophic accidents impacting workers, communities, and the environment. Therefore, RMP sites are also seen as likely terrorist targets. The survey respondents were local union leaders at these sites, and the survey response rate was 70%. The study revealed that companies tended to focus on some of the least effective forms of prevention. According to local union leaders, company actions most frequently focused on security, with 73% of companies improving systems to guard and secure the plant. In contrast, company actions least frequently focused on inherently safer approaches. For example, only 17% of sites reduced volumes of hazardous substances, and only 14% improved siting of hazardous substances and processes. In summary, only 44% of respondents indicated that their company's preventative actions were effective. In addition to prevention, there was a lack of focus on preparedness. Only 38% indicated that their company's actions in preparing to respond to an event caused by a terrorist attack were effective. As well, there was reportedly a low level of involvement of key stakeholders, which would include workers, local unions, and the surrounding communities. Not being involved is a major concern for workers at these sites, who thereby can't contribute to prevention or respond effectively, even though their contributions are obviously sorely needed. The following six recommendations emerge from these and the other findings. First, to specify detailed requirements for chemical site assessment and security, to mandate audit inspections supported by significant penalties, to require progress toward achieving inherently safer processes, including minimizing storage of highly hazardous chemicals, to examine and require additional effective actions in prevention, emergency preparedness, response, and remediation. The study suggests both of these actions are currently lacking, as we discussed earlier. Recommendation five, to mandate and fund the upgrading of emergency communication systems. And lastly, to involve workers and community members in plan creation and to equip and prepare them to prevent and respond effectively to an incident. Again, this last action appears to be rare according to the study results. We've used the study results in a variety of ways to try to bring about change. This includes publishing the findings in a respected peer-reviewed journal, working on persuading Capitol Hill and the White House, which, as we all know, is a challenge. To that end, we provided House and Senate committee testimony and also comments to the Department of Homeland Security on rulemaking. So with the political winds still blowing as they are, we haven't made a lot of progress on that front, but we stand hopeful for the future. We also worked on getting the word out through the press and got mentions in many publications, including USA Today and also on the CNN banner. And of course, lastly and most important to us was getting the findings back to local union leaders and members. They own the data, it's theirs, and we want to make sure it's back where it belongs. So to that end, we developed a participatory training that offers the, quote, big picture in this situation, that these dangerous trends are industry-wide. They are not anomalies at individual plants, that guns, guards, and gates are not an acceptable response to possible terrorist threats, and that the threat of accidents continues to loom largest. The training then facilitates workers dialoguing and developing strategies to use locally to decrease the likelihood that these catastrophes will impact workers, communities, and the environment. Tom will now come and talk about study two.
Okay, in our most recent study, that study was developed in response to an accident that happened at BP Texas City. That incident killed 15 workers and injured 180. BP received plenty of attention in relation to that. But what we immediately asked ourselves is what is going on in the rest of the industry, and that's what we went after. In talking about this, I'm going to talk about a concept called process safety. I'm not sure everybody's familiar with that, but that deals with process processes at facilities with large volumes of highly hazardous chemicals, and there are a number of specific issues related to process safety that deal with those large amounts of chemicals. We conducted a nationwide study. We got participation from 51 separate refineries. That represented 72% of our population of USW represented refineries and represented approximately half of the refining capacity of the United States. The primary focus was on four conditions that were found to be present and causal factors at BP, and what we wanted to do is identify the extent to which those four conditions existed at other facilities. That included the use of atmospheric vents that allowed explosive flammable vapors to escape into the atmosphere, failed instrumentation alarm systems, things that simply didn't work, unprotected buildings near process units, which was how the workers were killed, and non-essential personnel in vulnerable areas, which is a commonsensical requirement. 90% of the sites reported that they had at least one of those same four conditions. 61% of those said they had at least one incident or near miss involving those conditions in the previous 3 years. Some of the descriptions we got of those incidents had remarkable similarities to conditions at the Texas City plant. The conclusions we came to were that there are critical process deficiencies, they're widespread, they mirror those found at Texas City. The lessons that should have been learned from previous incidents and should have been learned following the Texas City incident have not been fully learned. Following Texas City, a majority of the refineries with the highly hazardous conditions took no action or took actions that our respondents said were less than very effective. So, the United Steelworkers is calling for action. First, we're calling for the establishment of process safety teams at every refinery involving union workers. Second, we're calling for the improvement in what's called process hazard analysis, which allows conditions to exist and go unrecognized or accepted as normal. Third, we're calling for the elimination of the targeted highly hazardous conditions, the four that I mentioned previously. We, fourth, want to require full safety reviews for all process startups and shutdowns. Currently, those are not required for all process startups and shutdowns. Fifth, a key issue was inadequate staffing that played a major role as well. The planned use of our study results, and we think about this every time we do a study, is how we will leverage change with the results. First, we're going to, not first, but one of the things we will do is develop a manuscript for publication as we did before. We're going to disseminate the study report to all USW refinery locals. Currently, as we sit here, there are refinery locals having a meeting at which this report will be distributed and discussed, and that's related to bargaining amongst the 72 refineries that we represent in the United States. We will release the report to the press, government agencies, and key leaders on Capitol Hill. We will promote the implementation of the recommendations in our contract bargaining and after. And we will advocate for improvements in OSHA regulations and enforcement, which was a huge problem related to Texas City and is responsible in part for the existence of these conditions across the country. Finally, I want to follow up on what Josie said, that these nationwide studies are challenging. We think they're highly ambitious, but they have enormous potential for creating change, we think, and we are just beginning to walk down the road of doing these kinds of studies, and we plan to continue to conduct additional studies like those we've described today, involving workers in every step of the process, making them what is recognized to be good participatory action research. I have some publications related to each of the studies we talked about and some things that happened as a result, if people want to see those afterwards.
I apologize for letting the session run over, but it doesn't seem like anybody's in a hurry to get out of their seats. So if there are some questions for Tom, his colleagues, or other presenters, I'm going to hang around. And you can do it one-on-one, but if people are willing to remain here.
That will be, to the extent that will be done, will be decided by those who are involved in bargaining with the companies and those who are involved in specific ongoing negotiations and interactions with the companies. So no, we haven't done an economic analysis. But the BP incident is going to cost BP $2 billion. One of the things we were able to do in this study that we've never been able to do before is we had the vice president of the union in charge of refining participate in all aspects of our study, came and helped analyze data and develop conclusions, and he and those he works with on the bargaining committee will address those kinds of issues.
Other questions for Tom or Sharky Linda? Yeah, I mean, Linda, this is what we had this opportunity to actually do a survey and train folks in this Chicago Steelworkers Hall, and we struggled as to how can we possibly train in this environment. And, you know, Shockey and Leslie and Joe and Joy Pritchett, you know, made it a success, and actually there's been subsequent trainings, and they continue to go better and better once we get